you listen to His Glory Lives broadcast to tell you Jesus Christ is alive and His glory lives in the believer. We're dedicated to the study of the Word of God and promoting the gospel.
Good morning. Today we're going to study 1 Corinthians chapter 11. In chapter 10, Paul discussed how we can identify sin. He said sin is disobeying God in things we know to be sin and also in things we perceive to be sin. Even if something is not a sin according to Scripture, but we believe it's a sin, then to us it is a sin because we do not have faith over that particular thing. He said what cannot be done in faith is a sin. He used eating meat offered to idols as an example. If it cannot be eaten without believing it's a sin, then we must not eat it. Now I want to read you 1 Corinthians 11 in the New Living Translation. Verse 1. Paul says, "And you should follow my example just as I follow Christ." The heading next is instructions for public worship. I am so glad, dear friends, that you always keep me in your thoughts and that you're following the teachings I passed on to you. But there's one thing I want you to know. The man is responsible to Christ, a woman is responsible to her husband, and Christ is responsible to God. A man dishonors Christ if he covers his head while praying or prophesying. But a woman dishonors her husband if she prays or prophesies without a covering on her head, for this is the same as shaving her head. Yes, if she refuses to wear a head covering, she should cut off all her hair. And since it's shameful for a woman to have her hair cut or head shaved, then she should wear a covering. A man should not wear anything on his head when worshiping. For man is made in God's glory, made in God's own image, but woman is the glory of man. For the first man didn't come from woman, but the first woman came from man. And man was not made for woman, but woman was made for man. And for this reason, and because the angels are watching, a woman should wear a covering on her head to show she's under authority. But among the Lord's people, women are not independent of men, and men are not independent of women. For although the first woman came from man, every other man was born from a woman, and everything comes from God. So judge for yourselves, is it right for a woman to pray to God in public without covering her head? Isn't it obvious that it's disgraceful for a man to have long hair? And isn't long hair a woman's pride and joy, for it's been given to her as a covering? But if anyone wants to argue about this, I simply say that we have no other custom than this, and neither do God's other churches. The next heading is order at the Lord's Supper. But in the following instructions, I cannot praise you, for it sounds as if more harm than good is done when you meet together. First, I hear that there's divisions among you when you meet as a church, and to some extent I believe it. But of course, there must be divisions among you so that those of you who are right will be recognized. When you meet together, you're not really interested in the Lord's Supper. For some of you hurry to eat your own meal without sharing with others, and as a result, some go hungry while others get drunk. What? Don't you have your own homes for eating and drinking? Or do you really want to disgrace God's church and shame the poor? What am I supposed to say? Do you want me to praise you? Well, I certainly will not praise you for this. For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord Himself. On the night when He was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took bread, and He gave thanks to God for it. Then He broke it in pieces, and He said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, He took the cup of wine after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this to remember me as often as you drink it, Jesus said. For every time you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. So anyone who eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily is guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. That is why you should examine yourself before eating the bread and drinking the cup. But if you eat the bread or drink the cup without honoring the body of Christ, you are eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself. That's why many of you are weak and sick, and some have even died. But if we would examine ourselves, we'll not be judged by God in this way. Yet when we're judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned along with the world. So my dear brothers and sisters, when you gather for the Lord's Supper, wait for each other. If you're really hungry, eat at home so you won't bring judgment upon yourselves when you meet together. And then I'll give you instructions about the other matters after I arrive. The lesson today is about dress, the outward appearance, which can also be something that people struggle with as to whether it is a sin or not, because of what Paul wrote in chapter 11 today of our lesson, and also in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, especially for women. Many believers have questions such as, is it a sin for a woman to cut her hair? Is it a sin for men to have long hair? Is it a sin for women to wear clothing that shows her arms or legs? Must a woman wear a scarf, hat, or veil to church or when she prays publicly? Is it a sin for men such as the Jews who pray wearing a capel or skull cap or have their head covered with some other head covering? There are no specific rules concerning these things except what Paul speaks about in this lesson today. And it's not necessarily a rule that he gives, but he is saying it is the custom. So we have to let faith be our guide in these gray areas. He clearly says the things he discusses here is a custom, and he uses the custom of his day to make an illustration about authority. This entire instruction that Paul is given concerning the head is only an illustration about authority. So we shouldn't read more into this chapter than what Paul intended. In the parables that Jesus spoke, he used the illustration of farmers many times to illustrate sowing and reaping and being good stewards. But in those parables, he was not telling everyone to be a farmer. The same is true with this that Paul is speaking of today. His major point is to tell you about authority. And the head is a symbol of authority. So in today's lesson, he addresses two important new issues of misconduct in the Corinthian church. We wonder, will this never end all the problems that the Corinthian church has? And today there's two. One has to do with authority, and the other has to do with worship. And both issues have to do with a public setting, meaning the church. He spoke on how to dress for prayer and prophecy. Prophecy here meaning speaking scripture or preaching or teaching in the church or on a public forum. The second illustration that he uses is about worship in how to observe communion or the Lord's Supper in the church. These two illustrations are related to each other because they both have to do with judgment. Paul is warning of judgment in both of these areas if either of these are abused. There is judgment for overstepping one's authority, and there's judgment for not discerning the Lord's body in the communion. So that's why I believe that he put both of these so close together in this chapter. 1 Corinthians 11 is an odd chapter because it's talking about how to dress, what to eat, when to eat, and even gets specific rules for women and other rules for men. So discussing these things are totally out of character for Paul. You would expect such topics as these for a scribe or a Pharisee who put great dependence upon the outward appearance, but not from Paul. And the reason that we don't usually hear Paul talk about observing rituals is because he didn't want the reader to be misled to believe that any ritual would result in salvation, even though it may be the Lord's Supper. Paul always preached Christ alone and faith in him for salvation. In this chapter, Paul tells these Corinthians, when he's talking about the head, of what the women should wear and the men should wear. Why would you suppose he would do that? Because their worship had become much like the pagan worship and was so foreign to Christianity that he had to get specific and instruct them how to pray and even how to observe the Lord's Supper. For example, they made feast out of the Lord's Supper with gluttonous behavior, and they ignored the poor who came apparently later in the feast, and the gluttonous ones had already eaten up all the food, and the poor had none. These former idol worshippers were used to elaborate feasts in the temple of Aphrodite, and we know they had a lot of meat because we talked about meat offered to idols. And they didn't want to settle for the unleavened bread and the unfermented wine of the Lord's Supper. And they certainly didn't like the solemn atmosphere of observing communion in the way it should be observed. They wanted a boisterous party atmosphere in their get-together for the Lord's Supper. And they came to the Lord's Supper hungry, and they wanted to be filled, but not with the things of God, but the things of the belly. It was said of these Corinthians that their bellies had become their gods. And even in their rituals of praying, prophesying, and working in the gifts of the Spirit in the church, they had no order, as we will read about when we get to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. It was utter chaos. They were not doing things decently and in order. The wives wanted to take over the services from their husband, and they wanted to take authority over the men in the way they prayed or prophesied. They wanted to run everything. They were little Jezebels who wanted the little Ahabs to do as they wanted. The men had become effeminate and wouldn't take their lawful place as head of the families or leaders of the church by having authority over the women, which God had ordained. So Paul uses the symbol of head covering to make his point about who is in charge. You know, on any job, you have to know who's in charge, because too many chiefs cause confusion. That seems to be the way the Corinthian church was operating. Women were leading them who wanted to look like the prostitutes in the idol temple of Aphrodite. Those prostitutes would cut their hair, and in some cases, they shaved their heads to show disrespect for the man. That was the sole purpose of it. Because the custom in that day was that women either had long hair, or they wore a scarf or a piece of cloth like shawls over their head when they went out in public. So these prostitutes went totally against that custom, showing their authority. Married women wore veils over their faces even in some societies. Now remember, Paul is in the Greek culture in Corinth. The women dressed differently in public, depending if it was in Rome or Jerusalem. But all women of the first century dressed with some type of covering to show that they were single or married. It was a custom of the day. Now, if Paul could forward to our day and time and see how many denominations have used this chapter to institute church doctrines to put women in bondage to dress codes, I am sure he would have worded it in such a way that it couldn't be misunderstood. And he didn't intend for all women to be excluded from participating in the ministry of Christ. We have many examples of women leaders in Luke 2:36-38. Anna, who was a widow and a prophetess, talked about Jesus to anyone who came to the temple looking for redemption in Jerusalem. In Acts 18:24-26, Priscilla with her husband Aquila taught Apollos. And then in Acts 21:8, we read about Philip's four daughters who were virgins, which did prophesy. In Romans 16:3-4, Phoebe is mentioned as a deacon, and Priscilla is mentioned as a co-worker with Paul, which means she was a co-minister or teacher. Because, as we said, we have other evidence that she was a teacher. Now, what I believe Paul wants to convey concerning women is because women are more susceptible to being misled because of their disposition to believe anyone and anything more than a man does, they are to be under the guidance and leadership of their husbands or under authority of other leaders who usually are men. Not that men are more superior in knowledge or wisdom than some women, but God holds men more responsible than women. It is God's hierarchy of who is in charge, and it's clearly men. It's for the protection of the woman. Men are supposed to protect women according to God's ordained plan. That is what a head or covering does. Now in verse 10, it says that women are to have their head covered when they pray or prophesy because of the angels. And I believe that has two meanings. The scripture reference to this verse is Ecclesiastes 5:6, which lets us know that angels record our words, the words of both men and women, especially when we are behind the pulpit. So it's important that we do not speak in error there and bring judgment down on our heads. So ladies, we need to be subject to our husbands or to the authorities that be when we speak behind the pulpit. Also, when women usurp the authority of our husbands or men in leadership, then we have rebelled against authority, which was the sin of the angel Lucifer, who tried to take over the throne of God. He had no covering, no authority to do that. God was his head, and he rebelled against it. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft and is not a pretty sight. And going against authority can bring the judgment of God upon us. Some churches have said that a woman's not saved if she cuts her hair. Paul would have never agreed with that. Cutting the hair, wearing a head covering or not, has nothing to do with salvation. And to be quite honest, I don't think it has anything to do with anything in this chapter either, except making a point about authority. Paul's trying to say that the hierarchy of God's plan of authority was not speaking of hair, scarves, hats, and the like, but it was speaking of who's in charge of all the details and why Paul is saying these things to women about how that they are to dress. He is to try to tell them of who should be in charge and who God holds accountable for the gospel and for church affairs. God wants peace and order and reverence in the worship of Him. I recall years ago in the 1960s being invited to a charismatic seminar. This is when there were a lot of new doctrines floating around that were misleading some. The friend who invited me and my husband was a godly man, and he wanted us to hear the leaders of the conference. But he told us not to let a group of women pray for us at the end of the service. I was a new Christian, and it absolutely scared me to death because I didn't know what to expect. I was greatly dependent upon my husband and his friend to lead us. I don't even recall what the minister said during the seminar that night, but we left before the prayer began. I look back and I wonder why the men of the conference allowed these women to pray if they shouldn't be praying for people. I don't know if my friend thought women shouldn't be praying at all, or if there was something wrong with the women themselves. At any rate, it seems there was a failure on the men's part there to take authority over that situation if there was a problem. They had become effeminate in nature when they let the women run over them. Paul tells the men in this lesson today to stand up and take authority that is rightfully yours in God's plan of hierarchy. Your head is not covered. You are the head. And God will look to you and not to these women for things that's done in the church. Now in verse 5, when it talks about woman there, if you look it up in the Greek, it stands for the word gune, which means wife. So that word there is talking about wives submitting to your husbands. As we said, married women wore a veil or a scarf. They had different names for these head coverings. And it was a symbol signifying that she was married. But the unmarried women would not wear a veil, and they would sometimes not be covered with a scarf, but they all had long hair. The reason for this was so that the men could tell who was not married. Now let me ask you, can you tell if a woman is married in our day by the way she dresses? Now don't laugh, ladies. I know many of you married ladies are thinking, well, yes, because the married ones will be in rags while the single ones will be decked out. Well, we exaggerate, of course. But no, you can't tell. One of the purposes of the scarves and veils was to let the men know what woman was not married and was under the covering of their fathers. So if you dealt with that unmarried maiden, you dealt with her father. She wasn't free to act on her own. So that's a big difference in the way men viewed women than from our day. Am I saying that we should ignore what Paul is saying about these veils and head covering for women? I'm saying that Paul is trying to make a point about authority in God's plan of spreading the gospel, and that he is not speaking of headdress as a rule of what to wear, but he is using it as an illustration to show the hierarchy of leadership. He's concerned with authority issues. Did you know that the devil cannot work in this earth against the believers without authority? He cannot attack your faith without authority from God. All of his actions are done with either the authority from you or from God. You can allow him to do things that God doesn't allow because of the way you live. I know that the issue of authority is a very important issue with God. And if we get our eyes on the headdress instead of the issue that Paul is trying to address of authority, we miss one of the most important doctrines that Paul has given us. There must be authority in the body of Christ. In other scriptures, Paul said, the hand can't say to the foot, we have no need of you in the body of Christ. Paul says we each have our place, but we're not to try to be the hand when we are a foot. It won't work. Women are not to take the place of the man, and that won't work either. And men are not to take the place of women either. Now he talks about men having long hair. I believe he's referring to the men prostitutes that were in the temple that were homosexuals. They dressed effeminately with long hair. And that's why Paul is saying for the men not to dress like these men prostitutes in the temple by having their hair long, as he had said to the women not to dress like the female prostitutes in the temple. He's telling them to use common sense to know that if a man looks like a woman, it's not natural, and if a woman looks like a man, it's not natural. What does he mean, covering, which in this instance takes the place of head? It is someone who takes responsibility for you to cover you with loving care and substance or whatever else you may need. It can also be understood to mean someone who has authority over you and is looking out for your best interest. God is described as a covering in Psalms 91:1-4. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He's my refuge and my fortress, my God, and in Him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. Father, I'm thankful for your word. I'm thankful for grace. I'm thankful, Father, for authority. I'm thankful, Father, for the opportunity of worship. And I'm thankful, Lord, that you didn't leave women out of the plan, but that you have protected us in a divine way when we obey your word. You are especially gracious to women, Father, and I praise you for it. I see it in this scripture. And I thank you, Lord, for all things that you do. And may we take our rightful place in you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, we thank you for being with us today. And if you don't have a church home, we wish to invite you to All Seasons Worship Center on Highway 35 South in Forest, Mississippi. You can listen to this broadcast again on our website at www.secondredemption.com. That is www.2ndredemption.com, secondredemption.com. Tune in next Sunday at this same time. You can support this broadcast with your prayers and telling others about the program. Thanks for listening. May the Lord bless you in the reading of His Word. Leading me inside.